helping him. There was an unsaved man, a couple of them, was helping him a day on the... he'd had his house just almost finished, ready to move into. He'd been living in a garage house and for years, and he deserved that home and felt like he needed it. His family is increasing, 3 children, and so different ones were just anxious to see him get it. And even this unsaved, couple unsaved men of the community, they were pretty rugged, especially one of them. But they was helping Brother Melvin Doolittle a little bit with his home. And so they helped him one day on the roof, and the next morning Brother Melvin milked his cows, and he was somewhat sick. Went in the house and went to bed and was sick all night. The next morning, by milking time, he was going into eternity. Going into eternity. Went that quick. So some of the brethren around and these men, they helped considerably then to get the house finished so the family could go in. What I'm starting to say is at the funeral that day, they buried him right out there where we buried, put my husband away. At the funeral that day, these 2 unsaved men stood by the graveside and said, "I'm going to tell you something." Said that was a Christian man. Said that boy, that was a Christian boy. That boy lived something different from a lot of people. So you see, they're unsaved people, but they yet give them due credit to whom credit is due. Jesus said that, did he not? I believe he did. Honor to whom honor is due, and so on. Speaking about Caesar, what would belong to be Caesar's. So I say sometimes, dear ones, I wonder what people read in our life. We're saved people. We live above sin, you know. We say we don't sin. We're just a pretty quick getting a conversation where people say, "Well, I believe you sin, and you can't help it, sin more or less, and you just in some way, word, thought, or deed, you have to sin." And of course, none of us is going to stand up and get in a conversation and agree with that, but we're going to say, "No, the Word teaches we don't sin." And you probably, a different one, gotten that kind of conversation. I have, and well, now we'll say the Bible said this and that and other, and teaches us we can't sin, and we mustn't sin, and we don't sin. We're born again. We're saved from our sin, and we'll talk like that, you know. But I sometimes wonder, what do they read? I say again, just what did they read? I believe Brother Jimmy Lynch, Geraldine's husband. I if he was here, Mike could help me tell this. When he was on his job down there in Los Angeles, when Geraldine, he worked in the hospital. He came when he was living in Pomona. He came to prayer meeting one night. He'd been telling me about this man. Said he seemed quite in earnest. He professed to be a Christian, and he seemed like a quite sincere and earnest man, and Jimmy had commended him quite a bit and talking to us about him, and me, I know, and I'd heard him testify, I think, if I got this right, publicly in our meeting about this man, which seemed his boss, I think, it was Jimmy's boss. If I remember correctly, the story was one night somebody parked in his parking lot. And what that man manifested took some of those boys by real surprise. It was quite surprised and quite shocked. And if I remember, Jimmy told me a couple of those boys that had pretty well influenced and, you know, not knowing maybe what Jimmy knew, some folks like us, but anyway, they were pretty well affected by that man. But when this occurred, if I've got it straight now, if I remember correctly, Jimmy said, they said something like that, "Well, I wouldn't want that man to pray for me." You see, what did they read? What did they read in that man? They read a temper. They read a acted unseemingly with all displeased and so on. I guess so highly displeased that he just showed up himself there. And so those boys, well, surprised at him. I say sometimes penmanship that's not very plain is hard to read. I wonder what kind of a penmanship are we putting out that people can read us. When we say, "Well, I'm saved and sanctified, or I'm living for the Lord with all of my heart," and so on and so forth, and live above sin, and if they see us be impatient and maybe unforgiving, and you say unforgiving in saints? Did you ever see anything like that? If you ever see any unforgiving manifested, sad, isn't it? As much as we hate to have to say it, but there's too much of it.
People
profess, brother. We just well to admit it. Like we heard today, some envy. Have we ever heard about some envy? I think we heard that. Envy.
Yes, we did. God help
us. You know Christ was sold for envy? Do you know he was sold for envy? Joseph was sold for envy. The prodigal's brother wouldn't come in for envy. Too much of it. Just too much of it. When you hear someone say, well, I forgive, and I heard this. I'm sorry to have to tell it to you, but I heard someone say, I forgive so-and-so, but I want them to stay away from me. I want them to stay arm's length.
Yeah.
Well, as brother said, they don't believe it's true saint, but this person's supposed to be a saint, and they're recognized, just recognized continually.
Yeah.
That's just one case, folks. I don't have no confidence. That's right.
That don't work.
Folks, I pray the Lord to help us. What kind of an epistle, what kind of a writing are we putting out? We are writing. We are writing every day. You and I, we're writing something. The Word said, your living epistle is written and known of all men. I read a little thing one time. It says, you are writing each day a letter to men. Take care that the writing is true. It's the only gospel some people will read, and that is the gospel according to you. That is so, brother. What kind of gospel are we putting out? What are we putting out? Mike the Butcher, he said, I got saved according to that fifth gospel. He got saved according to Mike the Butcher, the fifth gospel. He hadn't read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but he read Mike the Butcher, and he got saved. He was able to read the gospel, the saving grace of God. You and I, may the Lord help us to write plain that people can get the message. That they can get the message of salvation, of deliverance, of free from sin, of manifesting the fruits of the Spirit, of kindness, of long-suffering, of humility. Humility. I say again, the Lord help us. What are we putting out? I remember those 12 spies that went over there, you know, to spy out the land. Do you remember? And they came back. The word from two of them was, The walls are high, they're strong, the giants are great, and so on, and we're just as grasshoppers in their sight, and you remember that?
Yes.
And if I remember, the word said something like this about it being evil report. Evil report, wasn't it? Oh, I pray the Lord to help you and me to stop to think, what kind of report are we putting out? Two of those folks came back, and one of them, when they heard the... You see, they went over there, you remember, I'm sure. They went over there, said Moses sent to spy out the land of Canaan. Told them to go up this way, southward, and go up into the mountain. This is Numbers 13 chapter. See the land, what it is, the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, whether they're few or many, what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or whether it's bad. What cities they be they dwell in, whether in tents or strongholds. And what the land is, whether it's fat or whether it's lean. Whether it be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage and bring to prove the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went, they searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as men cometh to Hamath. Anyway, they went on, and they found it all, and they saw it all. All these same 12, they saw the same thing. Then they told him, it says, we drop on down here, the 27th verse. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people is strong, that dwell in the land. The cities are walled, and they're very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb still the people. You see, the report was, we saw all of this in the big city, and this very great, and all these ites that was in there. And Caleb still the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. Yet some of that evil report thereof, and all of the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in the, and so in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now this is the report they brought. All of these 12 fellows went along over there, and they all spied out the land. They all saw the same thing. Now here come down here report. This fellow said, we're well able to take it. Let us go up at once. Let us overcome it. Let us go possess it. And on down here we find, it says here, anyway, 14th chapter in the first verse, that all the congregation lift up their voice and they cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron, against the whole congregation, said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us up unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives, their children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to die into Egypt? And so on. Come on down. The sixth verse says, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephaniah, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spoke unto the company. Is this water's all right, is it?
Yes.
And they spoke unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we possess, pass through to search it, is an exceeding good land. A little different report, isn't it? If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. Quite a bit more can be read. But anyway, the thought here is, here they all went up, and they all saw the same thing. But here they come back, and 10 of them gave an evil report, and 2 a good one. And we find how the great multitude was affected by the evil report. Now I yet say today that people get affected, dear ones, affected sometime to destruction, shall we say, by what they see and what they hear. Shall we call it the evil report from people that's supposed to be spying out and giving the report of the good land, so to speak, of the way of salvation and what it is and what it means. And just be that epistle that people can read and realize there's something to it. Like Paul said one time, did not Paul say, if I remember right, over in the third chapter of Philippians, did not Paul say that I count all things as loss that I might win Christ? I think he did, didn't he?
Yes.
I count all things as loss that I might win Christ. Philippians, the third chapter. Maybe if I can't get it just right, we can read it. He says here, yea, doubtless. But let's read the 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now here these ten give the evil report. And it just brought trouble, and it brought weeping, and it brought murmuring, and I don't know what all it brought to those people. Finally, it brought their destruction in the end. Because these ten brought such evil report. And here was two with the good report. Was confident and assured the Lord was with them. They could go up and possess the land. And what caused all of this? They saw the same thing. But listen, some of them emphasized the giants and their great power and all of the ice, and the others emphasized the greatness and the power of God.
Yeah.
That's what they did. They emphasized the greatness. God be for us. We're well able to go out and possess it. What are we emphasizing today? What are we emphasizing today? What kind of report are we giving?
Yeah.
Troubles, sorrows, afflictions, financial losses, troubles everywhere. Look like some folks say troubles in the church and out of the church and everywhere you go and so on and so forth, everybody goes, there's troubles. I yet say you and I, we're yet that epistle that's being read of all men. What kind of report are we putting out, dear ones? Are we putting out that kind of report that folks can read us and say, well, I surely feel like it's that Christ, like Paul. Paul put out that he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I count all things as loss that I might have Christ. Are we putting out that kind of report that folks say, well, it's just worth having Christ and counting everything else secondary than it's loss? Can we put out that kind of report? May the Lord help us. I say we're responsible. We are responsible. Are we putting out that kind of life that the Word of God teaches us to live holy and righteous and godly all the days of our life? You know, one time Christ said, if I remember, he said, what think ye of Christ? Said to people. I say again, Christ is judged and estimated by the life that we live, by the epistle we're writing, but what we're writing. Some folks say, well, there are something to it. Look at so-and-so over there. Look at so-and-so. They're able to go through their troubles, and they can sing a song, and they can be victorious, and they can be joyful, and so on. And listen, there's something to it, they'll say. They've surely got something. Listen, I don't like to only testify the glory of God. I've been asking the Lord as never before. But, you know, sometimes we feel like we're just doing all we know to do, and we are at that time. And yet the Lord shows us we can just be more careful and do a little more. I feel like for years I've been asking the Lord to help me to serve him in sincerity and truth with all of my heart, and I believe he's been doing that. But I believe the last two or three months, the Lord has shown me that I can even be more careful and do a better job on doing that. And I've been asking the Lord, everything I do, everything I say, everything I contemplate doing, help me to first to weigh it out and say, is this going to glorify God? Is this going to, do you know, folks, there's some close scriptures in the Bible? I believe there's a scripture over here. You may have to help me to find it. It seemed like it's the ones in Corinthians, and there's another little scripture, I believe it's Colossians, that said something like this, and whether therefore you eat or drink, and whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. If I'm not mistaken, there's a scripture like that. Seems like it's Colossians around the third chapter. Here it is, 3:17. And there's another one in Corinthians somewhere, if I believe it is. It says like this, whether you eat or drink, and whatsoever you do. And this little text said, and whatsoever you do, in word or deed. In word or deed. And one says, whether you eat or drink. It says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, in word or deed. That'll cover a lot of our actions, won't it? Whatsoever we do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. Let it be of such, it's going to redound and return thanks and glory to God. The things you and I do, and the things we talk about, and the things we say. That epistle, read and known of all men. In His name. Do you know the Lord helped me to know one time, here some time ago, that there are things done that His name is not attached to it at all. He wouldn't attach His name to it. Because His name's great. So it means something, dear ones. Anyway, did you find that little scripture? Corinthians? All right, you have it. Let's read it.
For if whether you eat or drink,
and whatever you do, it doesn't make any difference what it is.
Do all to the glory of God.
That will bring honor and glory to God. And when you eat and when you drink and whatever you do, and word or deed, it just about takes in every bit of our life, doesn't it? Do it in His name and do it to His glory. That fifth gospel. Lord, do help us. Folks, we do need help. That's right. We just well face facts. You know, we want to sometimes feel that we're all just right up to top notch, but I'm going to tell you folks, we need help to fulfill this scripture. You and I are setting forth the estimation of the character of Christ, that Christ is Christ, and He's able to save, and He's able to keep, and He's able to deliver, and He's able to help us to live that righteous, holy, godly, steadfast life that folks were called unto holiness, called to be saints, called with the heavenly calling. What are we writing that people read today? I started to tell you that I wanted to testify the glory of God at this moment. I say the Word said no man liveth himself and no man dieth himself. You and I are putting out an influence. It's either for good or it's for evil. I remember hearing Brother Austin Wilson's mother tell years ago at Pacoima, right after this campground was built, she said one of the saddest things she knew of was people to live 30 years maybe and to build up an influence for the Lord. And then so acting, so doing, 5 minutes' time, they'd kill and tear down all of that influence. And I thought, how sad, is that possible? 5 minutes' time? But I convinced myself what she said could certainly be done. Could certainly be done. Folks, we need help. We need help to live like God wants us to live. To set forth that fifth gospel, so to speak. I said, we're writing a letter to men every day. And be careful what we're writing is true. For there are lots of people who read no other gospel, only that gospel according to you. How true. I lived at a place in Glendale. We lived there about 8 years when our children was somewhat small, 35 years ago. The neighbor beside us had lived there a couple of years and they moved away. And as I was friendly with her, as I thought that I should be, and she was very nice to me. But you know, you don't have fellowship. You don't have things just in common with unsaved people like that. You can be kind and you can be just what the Lord would have us to be, but to say that we have fellowship, we can't do that. We don't. And when that little lady moved away, another one moved in. And after that little lady, the second one moved in, she lived there about a year, maybe a year and a half. And she'd been over to my house real often when she first moved there. After about a year and a half living, I don't think it was over that, might have been Poplar's too, she came over one day and just sat down by my table and just kind of patted the table. She says, I've come over to ask you a question. I said, I want to know the right answer. She says, you know, when Mrs. Ray moved away, This little woman was named Irene Nelson. The last I heard of her, she left our place and moved up here to Woodbend, Oregon. I don't know whatever become of her. I lost contact with her. But she says, you know, I want to ask you something. She said, when we moved over here, she said, Mrs. Ray that moved away told us that she was a very peculiar woman. Said she was just different than anybody she ever met. And she said, that far as she went, and she says, ever since I've been here, said, I've been watching you. Said, I kept thinking, well, I wonder what kind of woman she is. Said, maybe she's kind of a witch. Said, I may see her come out one of these days with a hatchet. The thing about this, you see, she says, I've been watching her. So I said, well, maybe she's kind of like a witch. One day she may come out with her hatchet. You see? She says, but I've been watching you. She says, now, I'm going to tell you this. She says, I don't know what kind of religion you got, but she says, I want the kind you got. That blessed my soul. And folks, I'm glad I didn't know it. I didn't try to stretch up and put on a good front, you see. And that little woman, I have my, where I live now, my neighbor just had a wheel falling out with the neighbor beside her. She said, that woman's been in my house anywhere from 1 to 2 and 3 times a day. I said, listen, Bobby. I said, I had that from 2. I counted this neighbor of mine, Irene, in my house as much as 6 times in one day. And 2 little children at that. And those little children was very unruly, if I do have to say it. I said, I know what you're talking about. And you know, little Irene Nelson came in my house anywhere from 2 to 6 times a day during that period of time. I did not know she knew a thing about me. I didn't know that the neighbor moved out and said a word. And I'm glad I didn't. Because I didn't stretch up. I didn't try to put on the front. I was just what I felt like the Lord made me. But Irene Nelson said, I've been watching you and being told that by that other little woman that moved out. She says, now I want to know what kind of religion you got. If Brother Ox was at least sitting over there, Sister Evelyn wasn't his companion then, Sister Opal was. She says, I want that kind. Well, I was so surprised that I didn't feel able to answer her like I wanted her answered. I just felt inadequate to answer her like I wanted her answered. And she took me by such a surprise. I said, Irene, I said, Brother and Sister Wilson lives over here, my pastor's about a mile. I said, I'll gladly take you over there. I'd rather go over there and let them instruct you if you want to know the kind of faith I've got and the way you've seen me live. And I said, I'd rather Brother and Sister Wilson would give you the instruction there, my pastor. I took her over there and they instructed her and she got right down by the chair or couch or whatever it was and she prayed through and got saved. And I don't suppose you folks are going to L.A. And the next Sunday she says, I want to be baptized. Took her right down to Los Angeles, baptized in the pool in Los Angeles. And I'm testifying to the glory of God. I tell you, dear ones, that done something to me. That challenged me. That made me to know that people are watching us whether we know it or not. And we are affecting them whether we know it or not. And you would be surprised, like Jimmy told me about those two boys, about his boss. Those boys, they weren't Christians. But they knew what something to expect what a Christian would be. We think sometimes people don't know, but I'm going to tell you, they do know what they expect many times.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do. I've got a girl, and I want you to know that girl of mine, she just expects everybody saved to live like, that's the way her daddy used to be, to live what they claim to be. And if they don't, why, she just right away, she feels awful bad about it. Well, are you and I living that fifth gospel that somebody's going to be saved? They say, well, I watch so-and-so, and I know how they live. And that epistle that's read and known of all men, and they're living that life, that the Word of God, of what they claim to be. They claim to be holy, they claim to be sanctified, and they claim to be without sin, and they say they're patient, they're kind. Can they read that in us? Can they read that pure life, that clean life, that holy life? Can they read that in us? What are they reading? Are we putting out that good report that's encouraging people? Are we putting out that bad report that's causing people to weep and to cry? Well, where is it? Or what is it? Are there anything to it like these two poor? And you know, when I finally looked around, think I finished it, there stood two ladies with their hair as whiter than mine, whiter than sisters here. Their hair, as we say sometimes, is white as sheet. And the very aged, white-headed ladies. Those two ladies ready to go out into eternity. They estimated there was just nothing to it. But you say, those people wasn't saints. Watch out now. These people Brother Barton told us about was claiming to be saints and going to congregation where he went. You say you shouldn't criticize saints. I don't mean to criticize the saints. But truth is truth, dear ones.
That's right.
Truth is truth. We just about face truth. Listen, my husband, just not long before he died, maybe 4 or 5 weeks before he died, he's praying one day. He said, "Oh, Lord, else," he said, "in my life," he said, "show it to me." He says, "Help me to see." And he prayed that way more times than one. He said, "I don't want to wait till I get the judgment." He said, "Show it to me now." He said, "Show it to me now." I said that to say this, folks. These things, the fact, we just well face them now. That way we get the judgment. Judgment's going to be too late. This man said he was saved by Mike, the butcher, the fifth gospel. The fifth gospel. What think ye of Christ? He said, "I wonder sometimes what people do think of Christ. What they do think of a salvation when they watch us. They can think it's just, they can just think it is just what it's supposed to be if you and I will write plain, so to speak. Let our penmanship of our life be writing. Salvation, deliverance from sin, living holy, living godly, manifesting patience and kindness and gentleness, forgiveness, long-suffering, love one to another. Then the word says something like this, "By this will all men know ye are my disciples." Think about that. If ye have love one to another. Can you read that in us? Can you read it? I pray the Lord to help us, dear ones, because it stirs my soul. I yet say we're affecting people one way or another. We've been talking about joy. Did they read that joy in our hearts, in our lives? Did they read joy? Did they read sadness? I believe Brother Trotter preached such a wonderful message on being an overcomer and having victory, shall we say, and said something about even our countenance, even our very countenance. Mentioned countenance was brought in his message. I'm going to tell you, sometimes folks even see something on our countenance. My neighbor, every once in a while, she'd say, talk about somebody. She'd say, "Well, just an old, long, pussy face," you'll say. That's what she says about them. I don't want to say that about me. I really don't. Yes, band of happy pilgrims. Yeah, can people, that's right. That's what they're supposed to be reading, folks. Happiness, joy, peace. That's right. Faith. They say, "Well, they claim to be a Christian, but where is their faith?" I've heard this said. Where is their faith? Well, may the Lord help them. Maybe that's enough. But folks, it stirs my soul. I want to be that fifth gospel, don't you? There are many folks that will never read the gospel, only the gospel according to you and to me. And therefore, let's be careful that we're writing it true. Here are epistles written on a ball and living epistles of Christ. What are we writing? And I do believe that the Lord would have us to have, but we may not have a very good penmanship with these fleshly hands, but I believe we can have a good penmanship in what we're writing in the epistle of Christ and the life we're living. And that the people can read it plain. They don't have to guess at what we are. I don't know. They look like they're just about mad. You ever hear that? They look like they're just about to be real good and mad. I think we need to write plain than that. I think we need to write better than that. That they can just say, "Well, you can't stir that person. You can't stir them." Well, the Lord help us to be that fifth gospel.
Amen.
That we might help somebody to find the Lord. This man said he found the Lord.
Amen.
But he said, "I didn't find it by reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I found it by reading Mike the Butcher."
Praise the Lord.
Lord, help us now. You pray for me.
Amen.